Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring the opening message in Chuck Swindoll's study in 2 Timothy, called Paul's Swan Song. This emotionally charged letter from the apostle was the last one Paul would write. It wouldn't be long before he died a martyr at the hands of those who were determined to silence the gospel. One man said, "The shadow of the executioner's axe falls across every page of 2 Timothy." During the next half hour, we'll get an overview of his entire letter before moving into verse-by-verse detail. Chuck titled today's message, Urgent Words from a Dungeon.
Where was the writer at the time 2 Timothy is written? Why is he so passionate? Well, the background information isn't pleasant to read. As we mentioned earlier, he is a prisoner awaiting death. If you look at chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, you will see that Paul knew his future. He knew that his future would be brutal and swift and soon. He knew that there would be a beheading on the Ostian Way outside the city of Rome on the western side. And so he says to Timothy in verse 6, chapter 4, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Those are nice words to describe I'm close to death. It's only a matter of time. In fact, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. Paul is not afraid, so he writes Timothy from this dark and dismal place. Can you imagine the crescendo of cruelty that has been occurring as he begins to write this letter to his friend Timothy, and the kind of persecution Timothy will be facing? Can you imagine? Now, the chart itself, look closely. Chapter 1 looks to the past. He remembers Timothy's childhood, he remembers his beginning, and he takes him back to those days in the past, and he calls to mind how he has been structured and prepared to do what he's doing today. He looks to the past. Not all of it, but that seems to be the emphasis. When you get to chapter 2, you move into the present. He looks at the way things are. Not surprisingly, he addresses the hardship of his times. In chapters 3 and 4, he looks to the future. So we have the past, chapter 1, the present, chapter 2, the future, chapters 3 and 4. And throughout 3 and 4, you will read the words will and shall. This will occur. This will happen. These people will do this. This shall take place. All of its future. We know it now as past, but to Timothy, it was all future. So the last two chapters are future. The first chapter is in a tone of gratitude. The second is in a tone of compassion. The third is filled with warnings, and the fourth filled with commands. He's exhorting Timothy, not surprisingly, because his own days are numbered. Chapter 1 is announcing, guard the treasure. Look at verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now look closely. Guard, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure. So the outline, beginning with chapter 1, starts with guard the treasure. Timothy, you have been given the truth of God, meaning sound words. He calls it sound doctrine in chapter 4. Take the sound words, verse 13, the standard of sound words, and hold on to this. It is the apostolic faith. Don't let it ever erode. Don't compromise it. Don't apologize for it. Guard the treasure. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, endure the hardship. Now, where do I get that? Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. Get your pen ready and let's mark these six words. Verse 3, a good soldier. Mark the word soldier. He's an illustration of hardship. In fact, he says he doesn't get involved in everyday affairs of life. He's doing the work of the war. So a soldier, you're to be like a soldier. Look at verse 5. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, mark that. Paul loved athletic references. And here he refers to competing according to the rules. And you run to win the prize. So the hard work of an athlete, we'll look at that further later on. Look at verse 6. The hardworking farmer. There's a third word. Another word picture. Mark it. God has given us his word to guide us. And these are clues along the way that help the word make sense and come alive for us. So what we have here is a soldier, an athlete, a farmer who plows the field, plants the field, cultivates the crops, and ultimately harvests the crop. It's the hard work of farming. Look at verse 15, same chapter. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. Mark that. Word number 4. So we have soldier, athlete, farmer, workman. This is a workman who does not need to be ashamed because he's accurately handling the word of truth. Look down at verse 21. You'll find the word vessel. That's word number 5. Another word picture. If anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. It's the hard work of living a life of purity. That's what his emphasis is there, which is all a part of being a faithful spokesman for Christ. And finally, verse 24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. So we have the hardworking servant. Did you get them all? We got a soldier, we got an athlete, we've got a farmer, we've got a workman, a vessel, and we've got a bondservant. The chapter revolves around that, all of which talks about living in days of hardship. You take all 6 words and make them mottos for your life, it'll turn your life around. But that'll come later. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3 is an emphasis on continuing the journey. Now, Timothy, I'm not asking you to start a whole new path. I'm not suggesting that there be a creative work done and you find a whole new theology in which to do. Nope. I've set the stage. I've plowed the road. Now keep that road going. Keep the journey going. And where do I get that? Well, look at the verse. Verse 1, realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. See the word will? That's future. They've already come in our day, but they will come. Look at the next verse. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, etc., etc. He goes on. And he talks about these times in which they're living. Verse 10, now, Timothy, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, suffering. And he names where all that happened. Indeed, all who live godly in Christ will be persecuted. Verse 12, verse 14, here's where we get it. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of. Timothy, you're going to be surrounded by all kinds of people, all kinds of preachers, all kinds of models, all kinds of churches. You're going to watch erosion, erosion, erosion. You're going to see games being played. You're going to see nonsense going on. You're going to see theological sound bites thrown out. You're going to see all kinds of things occur. Timothy, don't go there. You continue in the path I have started, and I'm giving you the baton in this relay. You run with it, Timothy. That's chapter 3. When you get to chapter 4, it isn't hard here. Watch closely. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. Verse 2, preach the word. The word preach is kairos. Kairos is the whole idea of making a proclamation. Kairuxon ton logon is the statement. And it's the whole idea of proclaiming the word. Preach the truth. Timothy, that's your task. When others refuse sound doctrine, you preach it. When others want to tickle ears, you preach the truth. When churches call leaders who will entertain them and make them feel good, you preach the truth. When many will prefer myths and having their ears tickled, and that's not my word, that's God's word, verse 3, the time will come, see the future, will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but what will they want? Well, they want to have guys that will tickle their ears and accumulate teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. That's exactly what has happened in our day. Paul's words are as relevant as they are true. In other words, they'll want to be told what they want to hear. Don't go there, Timothy. Make a difference. Cut a swath that will touch lives. Don't back off. Don't hold back. Stay at it. And during the process of time, by the way, you may lose friends. Verse 10, he names a friend he's lost. Demas has loved this present world and he's deserted me. Verse 14, one of my favorites. Good old Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him. Isn't that great? Don't pat him on the head and say, that's fine. It's okay, Alexander. Everybody's entitled to his own opinion. It's okay, buddy. I understand. You have your opinion. I have mine. Guard against him, he said. Guard against him. You know what happens when you guard against him? You lose him as a friend. So, whose friendship do you want? It's tough stuff, folks. This isn't how to be popular. This isn't how to get voted into office. This is how to become a messenger of the truth. Now, does it look like Paul is sort of a steel, unmoved, sort of a robot who cares nothing about people? The whole latter half of the fourth chapter is filled with people's names, most of whom he loves them dearly. He misses them. Only Luke is with him. So he says to Timothy, verse 9, make every effort to come to me soon. He's a very real guy. He's lonely. He's tired of eating rats. He's tired of the roaches, the vermin. He's cold. In fact, he even says to him to bring his cloak so he can be warm. Bring the books and the parchment. He's got study to do. Don't you love that about Paul? Look at verse 21. Make every effort to come before winter. You talk about emotion. Don't drag your feet, young man. I need you. We do need each other. Even those who stand strong need others to be their advocates. Never doubt that. So, how is this personal to us? We're not in a dungeon, thank the Lord. Not yet. We're not being silenced. Not yet. Our family isn't being killed. Our business isn't being closed because we're Christians. Yet. So how do we apply all of this? Right quick. Number one, there's still a treasure to guard. There's still a treasure to guard. Guard it diligently and don't lose your grip. You teach a class in the scriptures, don't lose your grip on the scriptures. You're involved in Bible study fellowship, teach the study of the scriptures. Encourage those people in your class to learn with you. You're in a men's group, learn with them. Guard the treasure. Don't lose your grip. Stand for the truth. For all you know, you're the only source of truth those people in your class is getting. Teach it. Model it. Communicate it. Guard the treasure. There's still a treasure to guard. Second, there's still hardship to endure. There's still hardship to endure, so endure it patiently. Don't run scared. Don't look for a place to hide out. Stay at it. Stay at the hardship. Third, there's still a journey to continue, so continue it faithfully and don't get sidetracked. Continue the journey. I took the torch from men older than I, and when I was ordained, I agreed that I would stand with them. Most of them have died. I press on and I hand the torch to younger men today. They take the torch. When I'm out of the picture, they carry it on from there. It's all a part of the process of multiplication. One person building into another, who builds into another, and yet another. We start with children, we go all the way to seniors. It's all part of the process of this relay we're running together. Fourth, there's still truth to proclaim. Every one of you is in a sphere of influence that I will never be in. You're in your family, which is not my family. You can touch your family where I can't reach them. You're in a neighborhood I don't live in. You can reach your neighborhood that I can't reach because I'm not there. You're there. You're in a business that I'm not a part of. You can touch the people in your business world. You're in a counseling group, and you're able to impact those people. You're at a school. You've got students that are not my students. They're your students. They're your fellow students. Some of you are teachers. I don't teach your class. You teach it. What a marvelous opportunity to proclaim the truth, to share the Savior. You know what I think? It's a kind of a maverick thought, but I'm full of them. I think when Paul laid his head down to have it severed from his neck, he looked up at the executioner and said, "Do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?" Punk. Last words. Why not? What a great way to die. What are your dying words? "I told you I was sick." "Told you the medicine wasn't going to work." You know what concerns me about this generation? We have gotten soft. We're quick to feel sorry for ourselves. We're the most narcissistic generation that's ever existed. We lazily think someone else will carry the load. There's a spirit of entitlement wrapped around many a young mind today, and maybe not just young. And older ones saying, "Well, I've carried it long enough. It's somebody else's job to carry it." It's never someone else's job. I just said that. Name five people you know who regularly sacrifice time, money, interest, effort, energy. Show me a half dozen in their 70s who are counting for Christ every day of their lives rather than talking about their ailments. Are there years of retirement? Please. Nothing wrong with retirement. Just don't retire from eternal things. Paul went strong to the end, all the way to the blade of the axe. I close with this true story. Cynthia and I got a message this week from a friend who lives up in Washington, D.C. Listen, I read it verbatim. "I just returned from Walter Reed, where I visited Lieutenant Colonel Tim Karcher, U.S. Army. Tim lost both legs in an attack specifically targeting him in Iraq a couple of days ago. Tim and his wife, Alicia, were led to Christ by Colonel Franklin and Rachel Childress. Colonel Franklin escorted him on the medevac flight from Germany last night. In fact, when I got to Walter Reed this morning and pushed the button for the elevator, the doors opened and there was Colonel Franklin. Tim was in good spirits and encouraged Franklin and me. This is the fourth tour for Tim in Iraq, and the third time he was seriously injured in combat. I met his wife, Alicia, also this morning. What a trooper. They also have three girls back in Fort Hood, Texas. The news is too busy to notice Tim Karcher, but this guy has all the right stuff. Please pray that his kidneys begin to function again. Many surgeries are in his future. He can't wait to return to his men. That is leadership. That is enduring hardship. Step up, men and women. Step into the fight. Don't be afraid. Don't look for a way to hide or to protect yourself. Get your neck out there. There are folks dying without Christ, and they won't hear in your sphere of influence unless you let them know about him. That is passion. Give me a body of men and women with that kind of passion, and this city is evangelized. This state Here's the message of Christ, clearly and fully. Let's bow together. I don't know where all of this finds you, but somewhere in the mix, in the middle of this dungeon, you have found yourself. And maybe the picture isn't very pretty. Maybe you just sort of kick back. Hey, it's a lazy, hazy summer. What can I say? There is no season for those who love the Savior. Oh, there is time we need to take off. There are occasions we need to recharge, of course. But I mean in the warp and woof of life, God wants us on our feet, engaged in the battle. And we are the ones who will get the job done. He has deposited his truth in your heart. Let's be sure it makes a difference in the way you live this week. And I give you my word, I will not forget these words either. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for truth to live by. Thank you for preserving the etchings of one man on a yellow piece of parchment in a stone dungeon during those dark days and nights under candlelight. Thank you for his model. Thank you for this godly man who, losing his life, would exhort a younger colleague to do what he had been doing for years. May we take the torch. May we run hard. May we run well. May we be found faithful, passionate, committed, engaged for the cause of Christ till he returns. May we imbibe that same contagion as we live in a world that has lost its way. Set us ablaze, our Father, with fresh enthusiasm, words of encouragement, acts of love, and may we make a difference in the places we frequent and the lives we touch. In the name of Jesus, our matchless Savior, whom they crucified, whom you raised from the dead, and lives forever. In his name we pray, everybody said, amen.
From a prison cell with the executioner's axe overhead, Paul wrote this inspirational letter to Timothy. This is Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Urgent Words from a Dungeon, and it represents the first study in our series on 2 Timothy called Paul's Swan Song. To purchase the CDs or the downloadable audio files for the entire collection of studies, go online to insightworld.org/store. Well, over the last several weeks, you've heard Chuck talk a great deal about the important role of the local church. In fact, it was the topic of his personal letter sent directly to your home this month. Many of us are concerned about current trends in the contemporary church, and many feel powerless to make any changes. Well, to help you understand how to experience God's best for our church families and how you can influence your congregation, we're offering Chuck's Hallmark book on this topic. In a moment, I'll explain how you can request a copy of The Church Awakening. Chuck?
Thanks, Dave. When I started my pastoral ministry in the early 1960s, it never occurred to me that I would one day write books. And I can assure you, conducting a radio ministry was the farthest thing from my mind. Yet, God chose to give me these avenues for ministry, even when I resisted them. And while I'm widely known today for the books I've written, and my voice is often recognized because of this radio program, I can honestly tell you that, other than my wife and family, nothing holds a bigger place in my heart than shepherding a local church. Over time, the pages of my books will fade. And who knows, maybe there will be a day when my voice will no longer be heard on a broadcast. But his church will live forever. This, my friend, is what compelled me to write The Church Awakening. This book represents the culmination of 6 decades in the pastorate, and it's written for anyone who loves the church and anyone who longs for something more. As you read The Church Awakening, I am praying that God would use these biblical principles to rekindle your passion for the local church. Now listen carefully. In spite of the devastating spiritual famine in our land, it's not too late to ignite passion in our local churches. And I've never been more hopeful than I am today. But awakening the church begins with you and me. So, let's get started, okay? The journey begins right now.
A copy is yours today when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Ask for Chuck Swindoll's book, The Church Awakening, when you call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. When you give to Insight for Living, your donation helps us provide Chuck's teaching on your local station. In addition, you're actually investing in church leaders everywhere who've come to rely on Chuck's teaching as a model for expositional preaching and shepherding their flocks. More importantly, church leaders have renewed their commitment to God's standard for the church as they find encouragement and inspiration through this ministry. Thanks for investing in this worthwhile mission. Give a financial gift today when you contact Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. And when you give, be sure to request The Church Awakening. Listen Thursday when Chuck Swindoll describes tender words from a mentor here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Urgent Words from a Dungeon, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.